14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Well, hello there, everybody out there in Mets world. Welcome into the Put It in the Book show.
I can't hear.
Come on, Rodriguez. This is what used to happen to you last time. Why don't you back out and come back in? We'll get the squared away. It's spring training episode number one. And ding-a-ling-dong. I am Steve, best in the world, as you can see. Bruh. Big welcome back to Mr. Larris. What's going on, sir?
Welcome back. Good to be back, man.
Wow, look at this. You got a little entrance music and everything.
This is great. I'm back. How you guys doing?
doing good. We see that we still have some of the same issues here, Rodriguez, and not being able to hear once we go on the air. And Rodriguez is coming back here now. But let us not forget. Oh, can you hear now?
Yes, I can hear you. And,
boom!
And the point is proven that producer Joe still doesn't know how to do this.
So it's Joe's fault. Cool.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. All right. So perfect timing here, Rodriguez. What's going on down there, my friend? Just welcomed in. Larris back. Producer Joe played a tremendous little number for him, and we celebrated his life.
Was that it? Was that the number? Because you can keep that number, brother. I don't want it. Keep it over there.
Rodriguez, what's going on with you, my friend? How's life,
dude? I'm just getting ready for the season. I found an old Mets shirt that hopefully will bring me good luck, and the season, and the Mets. And the podcast,
we need all of it.
We need some luck, because we're starting the season off Metsy style again.
Because
what other way? What other way?
I'm not gonna say it. I'm not gonna say it. I'll leave that up to you, Larris. That's gonna be your thing right today.
Wait, it's let's get the first knock of the season of spring training out of the way. Give a little knock back there, so we can say hi to producer Joe.
Oh.
Joe? Mm-mm.
No, not today.
Wait.
Is there a secret?
Oh, there he is. There he is.
Larris, is some of the improvements.
Wait.
Stupid gun.
Okay.
No, we were doing to my left.
He made some sort of sense somewhere in there.
He never makes any sense. Don't try to help him out.
He was saying that Charlie Brown needs to stop bringing his dog into class.
Exactly. Listen, spring training episode number one of 2024. Fellas, rundown. We'll talk about what the Mets did. And in many cases, if you're a Mets fan out there that we've seen, what the Mets have not done. We got the captain.
Hey, Shirachi, you look a little skinny there. What's going on?
Thank you. Losing a little weight.
I didn't mean it as a compliment. I'm just
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You had a smile on your face as you said it too.
Well, that's why you don't get mad, right? Because I'm smiling.
All right. Listen, let's reel it back in.
Okay.
The captain, David Wright, in Port St. Lucie already, with some of the folks and some of the kids down there.
Keith looks
Mr. Lindor. He just came in from a run, run around the bases back there. Mr. Lindor is also down there helping out some of the kids in
Puerto
Lucy. We have five players in the top 100 MLB players. We'll go over that. Tom Boulay, what's up, buddy?
Oh,
let's go. The Rangers are playing now. The Knicks are about to play, but we're going to talk Mets baseball. That's what we're going to do. And then finally, well, finally, we'll probably start off with this, but the bad luck has begun. And we'll get right into that right on the opposite end of this fantastic intro video. Put up the bullets! All right, welcome back in here.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. All right. So obviously, let's get started off with some of the freshest news that we have, and that is our new ace, Kodai Senga, is going to hit the shelf. Likely to start the season on IL. First, we heard it was a little arm fatigue. And usually when we hear arm fatigue, it's all right, we're going to shut him down for a few days and then he'll be good. But the Mets case.
Went to Texas, is Simon Duran did have arm fatigue at one point?
He did have arm fatigue. So let's look at our last few aces. Trader. Is it?
Here we go.
It's an ace thing.
How do you call a guy that only wins 12 games an ace?
Whoa.
That's a whole other show.
Let's get real here. 12 games and you're the ace of the squad? That's a sad ace. That reminds me of the old Kurt Swan, you know, Mike Pelfrey days, where Pelfrey was our ace.
There's some fighting words out here from Rodriguez early on.
Am I wrong?
Listen, Michael Pelfrey. Our last bunch of aces. So DeGrom, obviously we know what that situation is. And if you want to Scherzer and then Verlander, I don't know what you want to make of that. Verlander was going to be the ace going into last year. And then he got hurt. Then Scherzer got hurt. Senga is now our ace. He's hurt. What's going on, guys?
It looks like Farachi, you dyed this part of your beard.
I don't.
Right? Yeah, so, I don't know what that is. Yeah,
mascara pen maybe.
No, you see what's happening here. You got all the gray down here, and it's
that is the freakiest infiltrate line I've ever seen. You don't even tell me you're doing that on purpose. You're doing Billy the Puppet, the clown.
He's mouth. Coloring it. He's coloring it. He's coloring it.
I'm not doing
it. If you're not doing it on purpose, then Keith can come over, slap you in the face, and it won't come off.
That's right.
That's right.
And I'll probably have a concussion.
Say challenge accepted.
I wouldn't slap my Boo Bear.
Thank you, Keith. There.
now you're his Boo Bear. Wait till you say something you don't like or you step on him when he's making a point. Wait, that'll be like about 10 minutes. 11 minutes. I'm going to give it 11.
This is what we missed. all right. So let's do this here. Rodriguez, let's start with you. Pitching. Senga, dead arm yesterday, now likely to start the year on IL. And there it is.
Understand it. I just
who's our ace right now? Who's our number two?
Right, wait a minute.
34, 5, 6, 7, 8 year old lefty that throws 82 miles an hour. Just became our ace.
Just calling timeout.
And you got a guy from the Skankies basically rehab. We're gonna try him out. If he
can you hear us, good, Rodriguez?
We keep him in the lineup. If not, we you know bring up one of the young guys from the minors. We have a couple of good ones.
Hear us.
His mustache. He's got a new what's he got now? Splitter or something. When you throw a splitter, guess what happens? It tears up your whole forearm. It splits you right here. It splits ball, but it splits your freaking arm right here. A lot of guys lose their career like that. I hope you're ready. I'm being very pessimistic right now, guys. I guess you guys can see that, right, Karachi?
Can you hear us?
Oh, you can't hear me?
You can't hear us. I can. You can't.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
You can't hear me?
Hi.
I can. Can you hear us?
I can't hear you.
Yeah.
So producer Joe screwed it up. again.
But you did get your point across.
You can hear me, right?
Yes.
Producer Joe, you suck.
Oh, this is so great.
So he was talking about the forearm, but it was his shoulder that got hurt. So now do we have something else we need to worry about?
I don't know if he was saying that because of the what you call it. Well, I don't know if it had something to do with the fatigue is what he's saying. I think we were just making fun of him too much to understand what he was saying.
We really were.
So, all right, go ahead, Keith. Take over. What's your thoughts? What were your thoughts yesterday when you heard arm fatigue?
I was immediately pessimistic, scared, and worried because we've seen this arm fatigue game before. Usually I just put that out because it's known that he left the game or he's being looked at, and they don't want to put out a diagnosis without actually knowing what the issue is. So I respect that totally. But fact is, once I hear arm fatigue, I know there's something worse. And I immediately started thinking of DeGrom. Yeah, because he had those arm fatigue issues and he missed half a season. Not that I'm saying that's what's going to happen. I have no idea, obviously, but it worries me when I hear those kind of terms thrown around. And I was talking to Rodriguez about what you were saying with his forearm, but it's his shoulder that hurt. But now maybe there's something else involved too that we're not aware of. Maybe his forearm too with that ghost fork that he throws.
Yeah, I don't know the grip of the ghost fork. To be honest, so I can't really comment on that, but I know if you're trying to throw a splitter, you're putting it in here, in between these two fingers. The guy that used to work at First Data, David Tripp, the head of HR, he showed me how he threw his splitter because he was a minor leaguer in the Oakland Conseco in the murder round.
We just lost you again, real quick. You said Oakland A's, and it went out for a second.
Okay. So he showed me that when you get that splitter, he had, you know, it could really hurt your forearm, but I don't know how the ghost fork ball is thrown.
Yeah, that splitter thing makes sense though, right? Because the weight of the ball, when you're throwing, you don't have as much support. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So because you just want to.
I think Producer Joe can find the grip.
All right, well, bye, because I'm going to get caught out again. For some bye.
No, let's keep you here. Pre-show
maybe figure out <It's> again.
I don't know what's going on with that. All right, so yeah, this same type of thing. You start hearing these things, and then it's all right. Cool. What domino is going to fall now? What's next? What's going to happen? And then today, during the press conference that Stearns had to talk about this. I mean, the explanation just fell in his lap because he's been talking about it all off season, and that's the depth. Now, you know, we've been adding depth, and now that depth will be tested, obviously. My question now to you guys is, depending on the severity of this injury, and I'm again, we can't speculate 2 weeks or 6 months. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But depending on that, do you now pivot to grab a Blake Snell? Whoa, holy crap. Look at that.
Look at that.
Wow.
How does he control that thing? What?
I have a lot of inappropriate jokes right now.
Yeah, he doesn't even have any seams on there. He's controlling it from the bottom fingers. You follow me? On the side?
Yeah,
if you look at it.
Yeah, he's got the knuckle fingers.
Yeah, but you notice how it's splitting, how much it's splitting his fingers up? And unless you have one of those a really big hand, It's a hard thing to do for 9 innings to not really feel sore in your forearms.
Look at his, what is that? His index finger, how the top part of it bends around the ball. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. It looks like the ball is a dog's face. The top two fingers are the ears, and then the one underneath is the tongue sticking out.
The only thing is, I don't see how he's gripping the seams and getting any kind of push on it. It doesn't look it. I would have it differently with the seam, so you could get some kind of grip. So when you come down and you push, you're gonna get that downward tilt, because that's what it's supposed to do. That looks like it would. It's almost like that. Almost seems like a knuckleball in a way.
It does.
And bottom, it's a little rough. But
I'm pointing at the screen like you hear me, but I mean, like you see me, but this knuckle, the way it's on the seam, Maybe it creates a late spin that makes it drop. I don't know, but it is a weird looking.
Yeah.
Let's producer
Joe. I will never be able to throw it, but you know.
we'll clip that. We'll send it over to Kodai and see what he thinks about the adjustment Rodriguez had to make. Boulay says, "I said we'll clip this and we'll send it in to Kodai to see if he makes the adjustments that Rodriguez is
suggesting." Yeah, listen, you should try it at least.
Dude, I don't know.
You make a lot of income here.
You may laugh at me, here. but I can pitch.
No, what you said makes sense. I'm not laughing. Yep. No, seriously. Yeah, what you said makes sense. It does. So yeah.
All right, so Boulay says, Stern says, no, he's rolling with what he has. But this is the put in the books general manager crew. So would you pivot to a Blake Snell or similar, depending on the injury? Or you just continue on this plan, which clearly does not include Blake Snell to this point, and move forward from there?
If they don't trust Blake Snell, otherwise they would have signed him, because he's coming off a Cy Young year. I mean, he usually goes good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. It's kind of been his thing for the last few years.
Most untrustworthy two-time Cy Young Award winner ever.
I know. So they're not signing him. So there's a reason why they're not signing him. But you know what? Right now, I would pivot to Snell. I would definitely try to get Snell because, like he said, We've had aces that all of a sudden have arm fatigue, and then the next thing you know, they're traders in Texas. You know, that's how it works. But I would I know producer Joe's probably going to kick me off the thing again, but I'm going for Bauer.
So I'll pick that up until he comes back. There he is. He's back. Go ahead. I was trying to fill in for you.
I heard what he said was, I know producer Joe was going to kick me off. I'm like, all right. I don't even care what he said. Did you say Bauer?
Yeah, that's what it was. There it is. Boulay, I agree with you on that, and I'm gonna bring that up. It's a rare event that we agree, but we'll as we get into some of the off-season stuff, we'll get into that.
If I could chime in,
it's probably wrong if you agreed with Farage.
If you were done, Rodriguez, if I can chime in on that topic, I was just gonna say that my biggest issue with Snell is not so much his up and down years, because even his down years are better than most pitchers on our staff. It's the durability, right? Because he doesn't really pitch. He hasn't pitched a lot of innings. Even in his Cy Young year, it's 180 innings, which is cool, right? This day and age, that's about what you get out of pitchers for whatever reason. But prior to that, he's only been in the low hundreds for innings. And that's not what we need. We need somebody out there who's a workhorse because we're suffering with these pitchers getting hurt every year. So Blake Snell, I don't think, is the answer. And because he's coming off a Cy Young year, he's going to want Cy Young money, and he's just, to your point, Rodriguez and Farachi, he's not worth Cy Young money because he does have those up-and-down years, and he really doesn't put the work in innings-wise.
Can't trust the fucking
freaker. Yeah, yeah. So, but the fact that you have to, say, pivot to Blake Snell kind of sucks, you know, because we do have a depth, but, you know, if you have a pile of shit and a pile of gold, gold's always going to win, you know? And I don't know a lot of these pitchers that we have.
I think he lost the analogy on that one.
What's that?
I think you were going for some kind of analogy, but I kind of lost.
I was, but I didn't want to say it, so I kind of tried to switch midstream, and it didn't work out quite as well.
PG rated this year.
Well, I said shit, so it's like PG-13.
First episode. This is good. This is a good conversation to go into what the Mets did in the offseason, because one of the first moves that they made in the offseason was for a workhorse. I'm kidding. I'm joking, because it's not really a workhorse. But Mr. Adrian Houser, who the most amount of innings he's ever pitched is 142 in his best season, in which he was 10-6, 3.22 ERA, but has never pitched more than 142 innings. And has never started more than 26 games. So,
well, not, look what happened to our workhorse. He's got arm problems this year. Our workhorse had pitched 200 innings last year. All of a sudden, has arm problems.
Maybe this is a good thing.
Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe these millennial pitchers can't throw more than 150. Maybe they're soft.
Well, yeah, I mean that.
Dude, they're not changing.
140. I don't know about injuries or whatnot, but he followed up that great season, and that's the only season. I mean, he's got a 3.22 ERA that year, and his career ERA is 4. So the following season he had he was reverse 6-10, not media bad. A 4.73 ERA, 102 innings pitched, 21 games.
He has a 4-point-something ERA, right, for career, like a 4.3 or 4.4 or something like that.
4.0 straight. But if you take out that 1 year, that the outlier, because outside of that he's the year before he had an ERA of 5.3, the year after 4.7, and then the year after 4.1. So that's that 3.22 is an outlier, but.
My God,
it's a trade. So,
you want to get ERA guys? I don't care how many innings they pitch. If they pitch 100 innings, they pitch 200 innings. Give me a guy with a low ERA, man. That's the guy that I want. He keeps the team from scoring and he keeps you in the game. That's all a pitcher has to do. That's the pitcher's job, to keep the other team from scoring and to keep his team in the game by not letting the team beat you to death with 4 and 5 runs every game. Because then your offense has to score 4 and 5 runs every game. Why the game's changing.
Vargas used to.
That's Keith Boyd, you know. That's Keith
Boyd. Keith, when was the last time you thought of that guy?
every time he's mentioned, I envision that picture of him in the dugout looking like a douche.
Looking like a dumbass.
Manny,
what's going on, sir? Hey, Keith, on the Adrian Houser thing, is it enough of a low risk, high reward type of thing? It's only $5.5 million, and I know that's weird to just say that because
right?
I'll laying around. But to have a starting pitcher at $5.5 million is not bad, but it that's where the low risk, high reward potential comes in.
Yeah, I mean, it's
potential. I focus on the word potential.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than just some no-name rookie coming up from Double A who gets, you know, killed every night. This guy's got some major league experience, but you know,
you got Buto. Buto.
You want more depth than just one or two pitchers that will be
Peterson,
your ace, you know, and having this guy come in and we got depth. Okay, I mean it's not that great if your depth gives up 5 runs in 4 innings, you know. I mean,
right.
So hopefully it comes through, you know. And then we got somebody like Tylor McGill. Not to change gears, but he had a good, you know, end of the season. He says he's got some pitching working on. He's young, you know, 28 to 30 is kind of when a pitcher starts coming into his own. So
he's got a great nickname, Big Drip. That's nice.
Yeah, the Big Drip. I mean, yeah, because he's easy.
We need him to drip on other lineups this year.
But the thing is, it's still a guess. We don't know. Yeah. Just because he had a good end of the season, we don't know what that's going to translate to now. And
Keith, all great second halves lead to Hall of Fame careers.
Yeah.
They tell me anyway.
It wasn't even the second half. I don't think that he was that great.
It was like, when he got called back up.
It was like a second. It was like the last third of the season. Right, when he got called back up. So, I've seen a lot of good stuff out of him. So, I think he can turn around. But all the question marks, it's just really frustrating because we've been dealing with question marks since the 2016 season or 2015 while we were in the World Series. And it's frustrating. I want less question marks. I understand the approach, sure. But I just want less question marks.
All right. So, just to continue going down here, what we obtained in the offseason. Rest is it's free agency. Sean Manaea, 2 years, $28 million with an opt out. He's also up and down. A's.
He's a very good reliever.
Yeah, 2 years, 28.
There you go.
No, I do like what we did with the bullpen, Rodriguez.
The bullpen has been showed up. They've done a good job.
Yeah,
I think they brought some good strong arms in.
Absolutely. And you get the best closer in the game back also to shorten said game. Yeah. So
he can't wait.
Easier to shorten the game and say this. What's this guy's name? Hauser. He can go if he goes five, gives up three. The bullpen looks good when he goes five
and gives up three.
It's a 4.5 ERA.
That's funny. I didn't know. I thought maybe my phone was ringing or something. I'm like, what was that? But yeah, it scared me. I was terrified. Diaz is an acquisition without acquiring anybody because he was already on the team. So it's really nice to see him come back.
I think I just said that kind of.
You did. I'm just reiterating.
No, not you. Boulay.
Oh.
Don't fight with me. I'm not fighting with you.
What do you mean?
Let's go through the rest of these guys. You got Severino who comes over, and it's not again, it's a 1 year deal, $13 million. I saw some other guys who I would rather not have over Severino. $17 million deal.
He's got the talent.
He's pitching the tips. He's tipping the shit out of his pitches. So our esteemed Mr. Hefner Rodriguez. Rodriguez is the
Exactly. That's how I feel every time.
Hefner, the only holdover from the Buck Showalter era. So it's his job now to watch the film. See what's going on. How are we tipping our pitches and fix that shit? And I think Severino has the stuff to be great. If he's not, slider's coming.
He can be ace-like, but you gotta not tip your pitches. Something's going on. I mean, that's Hefner's job. Hefner's job is to make sure all these guys are ready. He already failed. He already started the season as a failure because Senga's already out. So he's a failure already. Placenta? It's his job to keep these pitches straight. And this guy, the our ace, can't even come and practice. So he's already failing.
Thank you, Hefner.
You've done a great job. Oh,
man is here. First time. Speaking episode.
So, I don't have any faith in Hefner, but I pray to the source, to the light, that the guy does his job at least. He's already starting
on the track. I know Lindor is doing a lot, right? He took Vientos and Beatty down to Orlando to his home, and he worked in his high school baseball field, and he's really stepping into this leadership role as he matures. And I mean, Lindor is becoming more than I could have ever asked for in that sense. But I also think Lindor is a really my thought process here. So every time he leaves in a bat, whether it's especially on a strikeout, he'll go back. And he'll whisper in the next batter's ears, this is what I'm seeing. I think it would be good to have Lindor just face Severino a little bit and kind of see if you can pick up on what he's doing too, not just Hefner and other smart batters, like a Nimmo or, the right fielder who thinks he's going to play 170 games.
172.
He's ready, baby.
You say 172 or 170.
That's including playoffs.
Ready. I'm ready to
including
play.
Listen, I'm glad to have him back. I think taking advantage of Lindor wanting to be that leader would really help in hopefully picking up what Severino's doing because he has a good eye on what the pitcher's habits are.
Everyone's going to be watching him, right? All the batters are just going to be sitting there watching him. They're going to figure it out. I mean, that's why you got those old 95-year-old baseball coaches that'll go,
the door like strike out or whatever it was, and on his way back he whispers something in the next batter, usually whoever else gets a hit or home run or a walk. So
that's what they also
that did. Whole that yeah. all started when the year the Mets picked him up, and mm-hmm. and each guy followed suit.
Yeah,
and remember, it translated to the pitching staff too. When they were all talking to each other, and they were bad, they were nice, they were nice, they were smart. See, that's what's gonna happen.
Berzer did it, and you know, F him and everything else, but even he did it. Like he would sit down with the pitchers,
right?
And yeah,
he's a veteran. He's supposed to do that. That's part of his job. Not just
he's also supposed to perform in the playoffs, but you know,
and against. Good teams during the regular season. All right, moving right along. We bring back Adam Ottavino on a 1-year, $4.5 million deal.
What? I'm good with that.
So,
dude, his stuff is real nasty. When he's got it going, it's the nastiest slider or curve, whatever you call it.
He helped a lot with Diaz down. I mean, Ottavino was a real key in making sure we weren't completely embarrassed. Last season, so I'm glad he's back.
Well, so he obviously he's had a goal. Rangers, is that 2-0 over the Devils? I like it. But so Ottavino, we remember this from last year. So just really, really quick from last year, you know, we were without Verlander, Scherzer, and everything was going swimmingly. And then you know we taxed the bullpen super, super early on. Remember that? So, but after May 25th, Ottavino held lefties to a .217 average. So let's see if continues into this year.
That's great.
$4.5 million. Cowbell!
Hey, Cowbell!
What's going on? Estuardo.
Let's go, Mets, baby.
Sunglasses.
I mean, me personally, the biggest offseason move that upset me the most is we designated Tyler Heineman.
What happened?
Went to touch the
Who's a catcher? Tyler Heineman.
The best offseason move just happened the other day. Ended up going to Texas, right? Or to Houston? Where did it go? Where did Bogle Fat go?
Toronto.
Toronto, thank God. Out of the league.
It's close to Texas. Very close to Texas. Right next door.
Everyone went to Texas. Come on, you know that.
Well, why wouldn't you? Won the World Series.
Because you got the trader there.
The trader has back-to-back Cy Youngs in his career, an amazing ERA, and a World Series title.
And we got Luke Voit, so we have a first baseman for when we trade Pete Alonso.
Luke Voit's awesome. I was actually.
Are we starting this season really bad? You know, I think we should get it out right now. Just let it get it out, get it all out, get all.
Oh, well, I think it's ridiculous. I think everybody's.
Wait. Let's. That's we'll get there. But other guys for the bullpen: Jake Diekman, one year, $4 million. And then he gets a vested year the following season if he hits 58 saves. Love it. Love that type of incentive. 2.18 ERA last year, just 26 hits. So a lot of swings and misses, a lot of soft contact. So that's exactly what we need out of the bullpen after Hauser goes five and gives up three.
I like that tall Asian kid that throws 100 and the closer from Baltimore. We got
Fujinami.
And what's the other guy though? The guy from was closing Baltimore, I think. What was his name? Jorge or something like that.
Jorge Lopez.
Yeah.
But
that's a solid.
Fujinami also played for Baltimore.
Oh, did he? Okay, there you go.
Fujinami gets a little bit of control, and he's kind of young, I think, right? Isn't he like mid to late 20s? I don't know his age, but if he gets control with speed like that, we could potentially have like a. Nasty boys situation with Diaz, Tommy. I mean, we got some throwers in the bullpen.
7, 8, 9. Diaz, Fujinami, what's the other guy's name? Was it
Lopez?
Lopez. Fujinami, and then Diaz.
Then you can alternate Ottavino in there, Diekman. This is a really solid.
I really like the bullpen this year.
Not that guy, Drew. Not that guy, Drew. He needs to stay in AAA. That guy better not see the baseball.
How did he finish up last year? Bad, right? It was just a bad all around year.
I just don't want him on the squad.
He finished up messy. His underwear was
good,
a mess.
Good for him. He was horrible. I don't know what just happened,
but I just put Drew Peterson in there for
Drew Peterson. Wow.
That's you know.
Well, I was about
to say that. Last year,
about David Peterson. Speaking of,
thank God
he's not a pitcher. I think we agreed to terms with him, right? Avoid arbitration.
He's in rehab. He's gonna go cry into his mommy's lap. Say,
supposed to come back sometime early in the season.
Yeah. After the All-Star game.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's always our thing. It could be like a a twisted ankle. You know, 2 weeks. We'll see him at the All-Star.
Senga's not coming back till after the All-Star game, right? Senga's done.
Wow.
Look at Keith. Keith is already red. He's gonna have a heart attack.
I think of Zed. Zed's dead.
So what happened to our we're going to be content for the playoffs now. Our ace is done.
Wow.
That's 12 games. Ooh, 12 big games.
I am trying to look at his split for the half. Okay.
Come on, Farachi. Come on.
I'm trying to figure out what is happening right now. I'm looking up Drew Smith's splits, and it's giving me his batting stuff.
Yeah, because that's pretty much all he's good at.
We should have done a pre-show. We should.
Okay, here. Listen, here. Whoa, no, he was just straight up trash last year.
Yeah.
Just like hit opponent batting. Okay, batting average against. Actually, it wasn't that bad.
Oh. No, it was. When I think Drew Smith, I think gas station bathroom.
He was okay. He was okay for a minute, and then he just was so stinky bad.
Okay, so first half he was 4-3, a 4.30 ERA.
Ding. Sign him up.
But I feel like Ottavino had what was Ottavino's ERA last year?
Like 3? No.
Yeah. All right. And he got no. He got a little bit better in the second half. Pitched to a 4 ERA. Yeah, seven home runs in 56 innings. Oh my God. Boulay says Aaron Hellman part two. Hey, but every guy has a silver lining. You remember that? I don't remember him being good, but that one hitter against the Marlins. That's what I remember.
Well, that would be good, right?
You get that.
You're throwing a no hitter.
Yes.
Ottavino pitched to the tune of a 3.21 ERA last year, and he gave up 29 home runs. Actually, really,
that was the killer.
How many home runs did he really give up?
99.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about like I remember people saying, "Oh, he's throwing meatballs out there because he's giving up bombs." But I mean, and how many innings?
Seven in. Huh, that's a good question. Where's innings
pitched? Six here? Innings.
51.2 innings.
51.
61.
Yeah, 61. Oh, okay. So Drew Smith gave up 7 home runs in 4 less innings, but clearly they were more impactful. Then the home runs that
he gave up. Only comes in to pitch one inning, and he's got a 4-point-something ERA. Explain that to me. How you think that's valuable in this day and age when you can't take the guy out anymore before 3 players, right? You got to let him pitch to 3 guys, so you can't take him out. In the old days, yeah, not now.
Oh my God! And then the old days, like one top of the 8th inning would take 37 minutes.
But you'd win the game.
Yeah. Well, you could still win the game now. Same rules for both teams. All right. So, my last question for you guys is: what do you think about the potential of going into the season with Vientos as your full-time DH, or Would you rather have a more consistent guy like a what's his name? JD Martinez. Martinez?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. JD Martinez.
I quit because I was clearly going JD Davis there. That's where my mind was going to. Like,
you gotta let JD Davis go. Let it go.
Yeah, it's over. It's we all good.
I miss him.
But so would you rather Vientos get the shot? Would you rather Vientos get the shot and right off the bat, full time, DH, or would you rather him sit back and learn a little bit, start a few games a week? If he catches fire, he's in, and have JD Martinez for a 1 year, $10 million contract.
If I could jump in on that, I'll just say real
jump
quick.
On it.
Of course, I would not mind JD Martinez on his team batting DH. I'd be crazy to say otherwise. I mean, the guy did a great job last year, and he does not seem to slow down in that kind of role. However, if that doesn't happen, I don't want to see Vientos in a couple games a week type of guy. I want to see him get a good, solid shot through the spring, and then you either go with him or you put him in the minors where he can work, because I don't think sitting on the bench 3-4 times a week is going to do anything for him. I think he has the potential to be our DH/infielder. He can rotate in and out with the other players just to make sure they all get time. But especially Alvarez, you want Alvarez's bat when he's not catching. But, you know, I don't want to see him sitting on the bench 3-4 times a week. I think that's ridiculous. My personal opinion, I hope that's, you know, I hope he kicks ass in the spring and we see him some sort of basically 140 game type of role on the Mets this year. Impactful.
Yeah, he was listed. I don't remember what site did it, but they put a list together of guys primed for a breakout.
He's the guy.
Once I projected him this year to hit 30 home runs, and I mean, well, he hits the ball freaking hard.
Yeah, Rodriguez. He's got the ability. It's just he's got to put it in to play. On the field.
He hit a ball to dead center. Sure. He hit a ball to dead center last year that just took off. Man, he did it easy too. He's a big guy with a lot of power. And I saw something online also where they compared him and JD Martinez. They do that guesstimate of what they're going to do for the year. And if Vientos was maybe a home run or two less than JD Martinez, they say, I think that if the kid plays, which I prefer to let him play, Keith, I'll be honest with you, I don't want JD Martinez. He hasn't wanted to come to the Mets. He's been offered the contract by the Mets for several years now because he's been out there a lot of times and he doesn't want to come to us. So, dude, you don't want to come, don't come. We got guys there. Mark Vientos, I think, should get at the minimum at least to the All-Star break, because by then you'll see what he's kind of made of a lot. I mean, you'll see it, but he's got to be the DH. He's got to be the guy that's in there every day, lefty, righty, whoever it is, he's got to be in there. I mean, granted, give him a day off, okay, whatever. I'll backtrack on that to get him, let him rest and, you know, figure things out if he's having a slump. But he's got to be the guy that they say, you're our DH guy. Because if he's the DH and he's actually the backup outfielder and a backup first baseman to give Pete a break sometimes. So, you got to let the young guys play. Alvarez played, hit 25 home runs for us.
Right.
They all have to play, dude. If they're not playing this year, then everything the Mets have done with this mediocre team that they're trying to push as a playoff team, you know, that it could be a playoff team if everything clicks, but it's fairly mediocre right now. So they got to let the kids play then.
Boulay is agreeing with everything that we're saying. Something's wrong here.
Oh, wait,
everything that we're all saying.
Specifically, he's agreeing Boulay? With me. So obviously, I am a genius today.
Well, he just said actually agreeing with you guys. So wow.
There's something going on. I don't know.
You know what?
We just
imagine.
Let's give him to mid spring, and then he'll tear us apart.
Yeah. I thought that JD Martinez for some reason was drafted by Arizona, but he started his career with Houston. Imagine if they would have like believed in him. Because he hit, once he got traded to Detroit, that's when he took off. 23 home runs, 38, 45 the next year. Crazy. But I mean, if you can get JD
but
Martinez,
but he's older
for,
now though. He's older and he's declining.
Oh, for sure.
So why give up a spot and then pay the guy money when you got a young guy that you have to figure out if he's good? It just there's no way I can even go into that anymore with these old guys.
Yeah.
We keep going through it. You know, I can't even justify it. Even though I want to buy everybody, every team, and we want to form the Mets All-Stars and be the greatest in the world and just be nuts, it can't do it. So,
no, I totally
you, JD Martinez.
I
just come on the show, we could talk.
I just think that if the Mets signed him, I would not be upset about that either. But I'm okay with
this. Is weird. Now, this is weird that this guy is being so agreeable today, too. We're talking about Malay,
it's the first show.
We're arguing all day.
carry on afterwards
into our chat. Like,
that's true.
Three straight, even at his age, he's not like 38. He's just DHing and he's 35. So,
okay, so why?
Three straight All-Star seasons. His last year, if this is the start of his decline, if we get something similar out of him, 271, 27, and 103. Like, how realistic do you think it is that Vientos hits 271? And this is, and obviously he's a second year guy, so I'm not expecting like, he's going to hit 280 this year. But how realistic is it that he hits 271? 33 and 103, which is what he hit last year.
Do we have
like for 10 for
did that?
Sorry, producer Joe.
Single guy on the roster that put those numbers up?
Yes. Right? I would think that Lindor probably was the closest.
I mean, what do you
Pete would be off with the average.
But what are
here's the thing: you can't.
I mean, there's a lot of what ifs.
His average let's take out the you can't predict thing. Yes or no, Laris?
You have an idea.
If you offer JD Martinez, let's say 1 year, $12 million, yes or no? Would you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, Rodriguez.
Let me answer that real quick. I'll make it short.
No, we're not.
Not only because he's got a great bat.
I hope that wasn't at me because I didn't say
anything. him. But because his experience as a veteran, I think, would bring a lot of value to the team. There's more than just his bat, which is good. Now
I hold grudges, dude. I hold grudges. That
what did he do?
Gun doesn't want to be. He's done it every single year. He's even said it on. Look it up. Producer Dale will find it for us.
I honestly don't know that.
No, seriously, he doesn't want to be a Met, so screw him.
Well,
guys to play. You guys
right,
want him.
You.
I don't know. Little
well, I just found this out. This is late breaking news to me, Rodriguez. And if producer Joe can produce some evidence, otherwise.
Of course, he's going to produce the evidence. Producer Joe's that guy. 25 home runs from Vientos this year. 25 if he plays the whole year.
If he doesn't want to be a Met. You know, but I'm speaking in hypothetical terms to Farachi's question.
You don't want to be hurt JD's feelings that's watching the show right now.
Who's watching the show?
Okay. JD Martinez.
That's right, JD. Speak for yourself.
Farachi, to your question, is it realistic that he'll bat 270 and so on? You know, I don't know. He hasn't really had a solid chance because if you think about it, when he did come up and he batted, it was a constant. It was a lot of pressure on him. He was constantly pulled. He wasn't just giving the full green light to go out there and be yourself and play some baseball.
That's so true.
Yeah. So I think if he gets that chance to go out there and play some baseball, he might prove a lot of people wrong.
Hey, Keith, what you're saying is true because Buck was given the instructions to play Vogelfat. Over Vientos. He was told you have to play by the now suspended and
GM.
Disgraced Billy Epler. Sorry to hear that.
Epler, a lot of stuff is coming out about him, but I'm very cautious because I want to make sure that they're not just putting the blame on him. I don't think Steve Cohen would do something like that. And I think with Stearns in the office right now and all that kind of stuff, we're not going to see any kind of silliness like that.
No.
But
He did what everybody else is doing, that's bro.
Travesty. Because
every other team would do that.
With the IL? Oh, yeah, for sure. This is a scapegoat. Eppler's a scapegoat, obviously. But he's not to be forgiven for forcing Vogelfat upon us. So he gets no pass. No pass.
Well, I mean, listen, at the beginning of 2023, we all said,
hey, Bohan,
we can't lose. But the problem is they didn't get rid of him when he sucked. They just kept playing him.
And then he started getting a hit every now and then. And then it was like, oh, look, Vogelfat.
Oh, look at that. Look at his great eyes. What a great eye he has.
I'm going to go back for next week. I'm going to come back next week and I'm going to calculate per his salary how much he got paid for every strikeout.
Look at Cornet dropping by. What time is it, Cornet, where you are? Let's see what Cornet has to say. Stearns will let the young guys play. That's Cornet. he's got the accent over the E. It's Cornet. And if they perform well, you have players under control for years. Absolutely. I think the Mets can be good, but pressure is obviously down from last year. Let them ease in and see a future with more young guys getting a shot. Yeah. I agree.
Even Cornet's agreeing with us now.
If it's fingers, you got to go Cornet.
I think I went off the grid here.
Oh, you did. Okay. Yeah.
He's not Italian, though. Isn't he from?
Cornet is really good with stats. So he has a good understanding of.
He was our stat man.
He was the stat guy back in the day when he was awake for our shows. Hey, Cornet. Ow, boom. I got complimented on there. All right. So Vientos reminds me of Gomez as Boulay and the way that was handled. I agree with you, Boulay. All right. So, but I also, Cornet, I agree with you on that. But I also think that if you can get JD Martinez on the cheap, then you do it. That's a guaranteed 25-30 bombs in the middle of that lineup with Pete. Lindor, Pete.
Dude, why are you going to spend money on that?
Wait. Why is Rodriguez going to Negative Town? Rodriguez is taking a ride to Negative Town. I don't like it. All right.
Look, Edwin's question just stressed me out.
Who's going to be the Mets opening day starter? Who?
Adrian, you just ruined my night, Edwin. Thanks. Appreciate it.
I will go out there.
No clue.
Adrian Hauser. It'll be Adrian Hauser.
Quintana.
Adrian Hauser. Probably. Bohan says, don't need JD Martinez. Will not be a difference maker. We'll see. Well, we'll see how the season plays out, wherever he goes.
We settle in on Vientos. That's a good point, too, honestly, Tom, because JD Martinez would be a good late season acquisition for a team trying to push for the playoffs right now. Starting now, it's not going to be a game changer for our situation. That is a good point. I agree.
Well, I wouldn't say that. If Vientos hit .211 in 65 games this year, like what's the legitimate jump that you want to make here?
The legitimate jump is 22 to 25 home runs with 140 games played.
But what about batting average? 211.
Well, if you're going to hit 22 to 25 home runs, you're going to recognize pitches better. Your batting average is going to jump up. You're going to have you're going to have more experience. These are things that have to happen to be a hitter. You can't just all of a sudden say, okay, I just hit 25 home runs and I batted still 200. No, you got to recognize pitches better. You got to understand when to drive the ball to right field and not try to hit a home run. You know, all these things are maturing.
Are you confident in Vientos that he can do that and not be like Pete from last year? How many home runs did he hit last year and hit .217?
His progression in the minors, if I look at him as a player, which is what I'm trying to base it on, his progression is that once he jumps the league, he doesn't automatically jump up and become a big bopper or a big beast in that league. He always takes his time, and he's done it through every part of his career right now, even up to the majors. So if he's going to bat 200 or 211 and hit 11 home runs or whatever in 65 games, then he should progress the next year to bat at least, let's say, 250, 260 for a young rookie, and he hits 25 home runs at the DH position.
Sign me up.
Dude.
I'm in.
That's the progression that you're expecting because of his past. If he doesn't, then he's gone.
Hold on. You got shots fired in the comments. Tom Bohan just called Pete Alonso. Pete Carlos Pena Alonso.
Wow. First of all, he's only batted. Let me address that. He's only batted this low.
271 years ago.
Career. First of all, and Farachi, this is your fault because you said 217. You got to round it up to 220. It sounds better. He is not. But
2 years ago, he had 271. He can do it.
Right. So he's not. And to correct you, Tom, because you said it wrong, it would be Pete Mendoza Alonso because he'd be batting along the Mendoza line. So let's get that straight, number one. Number two, he's never batted this low in his whole entire career. He just had an off year. But the whole team had an off year. The coaching was a little ragged. The upper office, office management was leaking onto the field, causing a lot of confusion. So let's give him a break there before you start insulting him. All right there, guy? Love you,
Tom. That was harsh, boy. Man. All right. Let's get into some good stuff here.
My boy Pete like that.
Really quickly. He became Pete on your video.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. So let's go really quickly here. MLB every single season, they release their list of the top 100 players in baseball at the time. And we've got five of these guys out here. The best on the list comes in at number 25. That's Lindor. 254 last year, 31 home runs, 98 RBIs.
And honestly, I think he's better than that, even, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he started off low batting average again last year. It's ruffled some feathers. But the elite defense that he plays, 30. Hit 31 home runs, 31 stolen bases, 30-30 club. What else do you want from this kid?
he's nothing down, to say about
he goes to spring training early, works with Vientos at third base. I mean,
he's a positive influence. He's always smiling, trying to play the game the right way. He's Puerto Rican. What else can you say?
Boulay says, damn, hurt, I love it. Someone's taking more heat than I.
I want him to hit 275.
There you go. That's perfectly acceptable, dude. Yeah, I want him to hit 290.
his first year and a half, he was a little immature. He did some things that made the fans upset, but this dude has stepped up.
Best world class leader ever had.
We know that was Mr. Baez's fault with 180 average in Detroit.
Yeah, and I want
holy
to
shit! Could you imagine if we signed that jackass?
No. How do you play $29 or $30 million a year for a 200 average? My god,
that's trash. Cornet is bringing some stats, baby. Says Vientos had a 50.1% hard hit rate. I was actually watching highlights earlier. The guy, when he makes contact, it's.
Smokes it easy too, dude. No effort goes out.
All right, Pete, back to the list. Pete comes in at number 37. They talk about a struggle with batting average, but 46 home runs and 118 RBI. Previous year, 131 RBI, 249 RBIs in the last two seasons.
Trade all those RBIs.
Bohan says we need Lindor to teach Nimmo how to steal a base. I feel like if he starts trying to steal bases, he's gonna get hurt.
I don't know why he's holding on to that. Don't hold on to that cat.
Let the man be. All right, next up, our injured ace, Kodai Senga. In year two, is already in the top 100 players. Bodes well for us, obviously. He comes in at number 63. 5 years, $75 million, and shit. We got a fight. I'm going to rewatch that later, Tom. I love it. Blood on the ice. So Senga pit 2.98 ERA, nice 1.22 whip, 12-7, 29 starts. I mean, he did his thing there. Finished second in rookie of the year. 200 strikeouts and 166 innings. No, 202 strikeouts in 166 innings. So all-star, say all this stuff
and
about
him. And he only did 166 innings, and he can't pitch the next year. What is that about? Thank you, Trader. You jinxed us again.
Well, did
anybody who thought that Rodriguez was going to take the turn to negative town on episode one? I didn't have that on my bingo card. I thought it was going to be.
Don't they play less games in Japan?
And they got a bigger ball and 6 days rest. So he was getting acclimated last year, Rodriguez.
Attack your ball. I think it's actually a smaller ball with attack your ball that you can get a better grip on. But he was good last year, man. Come on. I appreciate him. You know,
What the hell did the first of all, what the hell did the ghost pitch look like with attack?
Oh, it must if it looked it, like it this. Must just do here. This.
Right,
I watched the video when we first got him, but I don't recall. But yeah, I'm sure it was nasty as hell.
It's wild, man. All right, next up, Brandon Nimmo, former center fielder, current left fielder. He comes in at number 70 on the list, 152 games played, 274, 24 home runs, 68 RBI, out of the leadoff spot, played really good defense. And
he's gonna be better this year in left.
Yeah,
he's gonna kill him. I'm thinking Gilkey like in left because remember Gilkey, all those assists he had in left.
Oh, I don't know about Nimmo doesn't have enough.
Well, his arm will look better in left. His arm will look better in left.
As long as he hits Lindor every single time, his arm will look great.
That's
but he got some criticism when they brought in Bader. He got some criticism for his left center field defense. I thought he was amazing last year. I thought he was worthy of.
No, he was very. I'm not saying he was.
He got great jumps.
I thought he was amazing.
He's going to be better than left, dude.
Tom said wow. Noodle arm.
He does have a noodle arm, bro. He doesn't have an arm.
Neither did Gilkey, but he knew how to throw it straight, and he hit his targets.
No, you can't. Yeah, go ahead.
How did Brandon Nimmo went backwards on this list? So he hit 274, 24, and 68, and 152 games at leadoff spot with great defense, and he went from 54 to 70. More talent comes into the league. That's it. All right, and then last on the list, yeah. And Nimmo, 8 years. He's in Queens until 2030. Looks good, getting better and better every year. Last guy on the list for us was comes in at number 80, and it's a guy who's going to be much higher on this list next year, and that's Edwin Diaz. He was 30 spots higher last year, taken into consideration. Ooh. That's in all of baseball as a closer. So obviously last year, some bullshit happened. Things didn't work out. This year he's back. 1 year of rest on the arm. Let's look at some silver lines there.
WBC happened. But being 80 and not playing a whole entire ranked 80 and not playing a whole year says something about his talent and ability.
That's right.
He was filthy, bro, wasn't he? When he was on right before that thing, that dang injury, he was nasty. He was throwing 100. There you go. There you go. Very nice. You sleep with him at night, don't you? Weirdo.
Well, Bohan says McNeil is not on the list.
Doesn't deserve to be.
And what a bad crowd. Rodriguez, what's happening?
What? Dude, I told him stop playing golf. Now he comes in and says, he why didn't he report a few days ago? Now he got reported. Oh, I get an operation because I hurt myself playing golf. That's why.
He got his Ford Bronco and got comfortable.
Play baseball. Hey,
have you guys seen the picture of him yesterday in the cage? He's jacked. He is jacked up. He is.
That means he's going to try and hit a lot of home runs. Yes, Rodriguez hates this. Yes, that's Rodriguez is furious, though.
Yeah, you mean in the stripper cage? He looked hot.
He has put on some upper body muscle, and it's noticeable.
Joe came in and knocked me out, didn't he?
You can't hear?
I can't hear you again.
Oh, Joe.
I know exactly how to knock him out now. Okay, all right.
Just talk.
I do this show.
Hey, Rodriguez, Beltran's the best.
Sometimes I should just go to bed early. That's all.
You love Beltran, don't you, Rodriguez? So Rodriguez loves Beltran. Let's talk about that for us.
Oh my God! All right. Well, while Rodriguez makes his way back, last thing here. David Wright makes his way back to spring training. When we get the annual, does David Wright want to be a Mets employee again? Question. No, he's happy to be a consultant. He's happy to give advice, but a potential coaching job or any other job within the Mets organization is years away, if anything, which I kind of respect. These guys come back and do their thing, but he's just, all right, I want to raise my kids. Obviously, he had the spinal stenosis and his career way too early. They also talked about a little bit about the Hall of Fame stuff, and you know, whether or not he was on a Hall of Fame career trajectory or not, we know that was the case, but we'll never know what would have transpired if he would have stayed healthy. So Keith, what do you think, even at this point, what is David Wright showing up to spring training mean to the Mets?
I think it brings a lot of positive energy. I think that just the presence of David Wright, he's an all-time Met great. He's an all-time Met, I can't think of a good term to use, so I'll say loyalist. Like, he is super loyal to the Mets. He loves the Mets. He loves the organization.
Even during the Madoff situation.
Yeah, he stuck.
Probably could have got more money.
And he's a true classic baseball guy. You know, he's just one of those baseball purists. And I think him just being present has to bring some sort of really positive atmosphere into the camp. The fact that he was outright and said that he doesn't want to really be an employee. And then furthermore, he doesn't want to interrupt spring training, but he's there for anybody who has questions for him was one of his comments. I think it's a great thing. I would love to see him there every year. As a matter of fact, I know he doesn't want to be an employee, but I would love to see him be a guest coach for like a good 2-week stretch every year during spring training. I think that would be really cool. Because you remember even like Sandy Koufax, remember he used to come up and work with the pitchers.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He was a Brooklyn Dodger, but as a National League New York guy, he would come in and kind of play that role. I would like to see David Wright eventually do that. I think he has a lot to offer from his experience, his knowledge, and just being an overall baseball guy. That's my take.
Ule, I had to read your comment a couple of times. Be in Florida for 2 weeks in 2 weeks. Ule says he's got the first round at the bar. I think we got to head out. All right. Rodriguez is back. You can hear us. You know, this is the live feed during a storm right now.
It goes through it. G-Money. What's up, George?
Georgie. All right, so we were talking about David Wright and what his impact is on spring training and the fact that he's just not ready to go back to baseball. He's doing the thing with his kids. Respectable. Coaching the kids, which is probably a little bit more important than him coaching, you know, Daniel Vogelbach last year.
It isn't. He has little girls, right? Is he coaching the next major league ball player? Doesn't he have girls?
Maybe.
So if he is, then yeah, maybe it's important. But if not, leave the little girls at home. I mean, what are you going to do? Why is he going to come back? Is he going to post us another third baseman again?
Wow.
Is he going to get another third baseman? I'll trade it for us.
What a positive Rodriguez we got today.
And suck up $22 million dollars from us. Is that what he's going to do again? No. Thanks a lot, Captain. You're just as bad as Jeter. You're almost as bad as Jeter if you're going to do that. Might as well be a Yankee captain.
Rodriguez, take that
back. I'm not sure I really like your
last part. You went too far.
I think I went too far. I should have said that guy's name, that the demon of the Bronx. I shouldn't have said his name. I'm sorry, Captain.
And that he's like a captain of that other team.
No.
I wish the Mets played with half the heart that David Wright played with. How about that?
Yeah, half the heart and all the back. Obviously, that's not a misplay. Wow. After Hart on his back, couldn't win anything. Thanks a lot, Captain. Thanks a lot for getting rid of that redhead.
Producer Joe, wait, like,
I only hit 300 for 10 years for the dog.
Turn off his microphone. Like CM.
Good job.
All right. Raul's back. Just a couple comments, Raul, to wash out the negativity that Rodriguez has spewed. Raul says the fly in the ointment is if the Mets are out of contention. Okay, this is negativity. Mets are out of contention by the All-Star break. Pete will be traded. This is a bold prediction there. But if the Mets are out of contention, I think the Mets will overpay for Alonso.
Yeah.
And then he also says McNeil is going to get injured this season. Like, this is what's happening, Raul. why did we get to this place? He is jacked, means he's going to have a couple of muscle injuries. Baseball players have to be flexible, and I'm hoping I'm wrong, but McNeil's getting injured. Boulay just called you grumpy, Rodriguez.
No, but he mistakenly said tonight. It's always, Tom. It's always.
Oh, man. All right. So another goal for the Rangers, 3-0, Boulay. The Knicks were up by 20. Let's go New York tonight earlier. All right. Well, I think that does it for us on this very first spring training episode. Let's go round robin here. Get up on out of here at the 1 hour, 11 minute mark. That's not bad for our first episode. Laris, what you got on the way out?
Let's go Mets. Sign Pete. We're winning it all this year.
There it is. That's what we needed. That's the type of energy we need.
I think I had a lot of energy. It just wasn't the energy you wanted to hear.
Negative energy.
No, it's actually the truth. If you didn't like the truth, then you know what are you gonna do? Truth the consequences, right? There was a show like that. Sorry, buddy. Yeah. But I think we're gonna be mediocre. Probably mediocre enough to get into the playoffs. You know, after the All-Star break when Senga comes back, you know, we'll get better. So let's go, Mets. I'm ready for a good season, man. I can't wait. Opening spring training is coming up this weekend, right?
Saturday, 24th.
Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Who are they playing?
Thanks, Tom.
Who are they playing? I don't know.
Playing St. Louis.
Oh, no, Tom said great show. So once Roger Goose died, I just said thanks.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
Mets open up in St. Louis against the Cardinals on Saturday, and then Houston on Sunday.
The Cardinals.
Both of them are split squads. Split
squad. The Cardinals so much.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the grandkids up to a game, so I'll let you guys know what game I pick. Hopefully, we can all meet up there.
Vamos. Producer Joe, what you got on the way out here?
He's been quiet.
Is he still producing? No. Do I have to end the show?
He fell asleep again.
He had to go poop.
Joseph?
Oh, if I speak every... Oh, it's oh, every
if he
time
talks,
you speak?
He'll knock me off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, why is so that put happen? Your last thoughts in the comments as Roger, as Farachi's speaking, and then send it over.
There's a character limit.
You can't bye. Do that. I'll see you in a few minutes again.
It's like a tweet.
No.
Thank God.
Yeah, Raul says no injuries in the first two exhibition games, please. Let's go, Mets. And producer Joe says the exact same thing as Raul. Boom, at the same time. Coordinate with a little LGM. All right, let's go, Mets. Rodriguez was a little negative today, but we'll get that straight now.
Okay.
Stop it.
All right. I'm smiling. It's just a negative smile.
That's like a maniacal smile now. It's like you're yeah.
You know,
but
I did get it.
You know, I was gonna say real quick. You know what's really good is we all got along. Even the chat, we all agreed. It's a really good start to build up for all of us to argue and fight with each other. Another 2 months.
Absolutely. That's the way to do it.
By next week.
Yes, by next week.
Oh, for sure. All the rust is out. Yeah. All right. So that's it for us this very first spring training episode on the Put in the Book show. We'll be back here next week with episode 2 of special spring training episode leading up to opening day. We'll get into some of the top 10 at each position list. And then, of course, the episode right before opening day is our annual prediction show where we'll go through the list of, you know, who what stats we think are going to be put up by Pete and Nimmo and the rest of the lineup. And most importantly, where we think the Mets will finish the season.
Sign Bauer.
Even Boulay, sign Bauer. All right, producer Joe, for the first time this season, get us a poll out of here. Put up the bullets!